So this kind of open office or development does not cover core hacking using the build environment. It's about using SDK, API, etc. to either develop your own components or to use openoffice.org in other applications. That's what I want to do today. First, some notes about me, and then some words about the past, what we wanted to achieve when we started with SDK and API and so on. What we discovered last year, and what we want to do in the for the next releases for OpenOffice.org. Not everything I will talk about now is planned to get just into the next release. It's just open how many releases we will do in the future and which parts of this get into which version. So it's just a roadmap without a fixed timeline at the moment. And at the end, I want just to give some words to describe what happened in the Google Summer of Code projects inside OpenOffice.org. So I'm working on OpenOffice.org and StarOffice for a long time. I started working on the application framework 10 years ago and about object embedding stuff, the thing you will see when you insert so-called OLE objects. And when we refactored or started to refactor our code base to a more component-based application framework, that's also something I'm working on. And since some years, I'm working as a software engineering manager in for the team's application framework and now programmability. And since the foundation of OpenOffice.org, I'm also the application project, the framework project lead, and I still enjoy that. So, starting where we come from. We had some goals with our API and with our UNO development, UNO-based development. We wanted to provide an API to developers that enables them to access everything in OpenOffice.org, everything you have as a functionality there. And you can use it in your own applications. And you pretty much know that. I think many of you are already doing this. We also wanted to enable users to write components that are plugged into OpenOffice.org just to give new functions to it and also replace some of the components we have provided by default, maybe because you have a component that does something better or just different. And of course, one goal we had in mind always was have OpenOffice.org a little bit more componentized than it was at that point in time when we started all this UNO stuff. So just a quick summary of the use cases I already mentioned. Creating applications that connect to OpenOffice and uses functionality. Of course, writing macros is also an important part of OpenOffice.org programmability. And with OpenOffice, with the last version of OpenOffice.org, we had our new scripting framework that extended macro work from BASIC to other languages that we just enabled by this framework. And we have a lot of so-called service provider APIs in our program that are built only for the reason to plug in components. Examples are filters for document formats, the so-called content providers. That is code that enables you to access different file system resources. Calc add-ins are a good example. Data connectors and our so-called add-ons that, for people that don't know what it is, can be compared with extensions in Mozilla-based applications. Yeah, what we provide to developers to achieve this was, of course, first UNO. I think you all know UNO, and we had several presentations in the first two conferences, and the UNO also has developed a little bit, and my colleague Stefan Bergmann will talk about that in the next presentation. You know, for the developers, first provides a language-independent access to the functionality. The most important languages are C++ and Java, and you can also use Python. It's not so common to use Python, but I know that there are some enthusiastic Pythonists that already do it. As I said, BASIC is also part of this, and the scripting framework. Currently, we have an implementation of the scripting framework that supports JavaScript and Bean Shell. That's kind of an interpreted Java code. We have our OLE automation bridge that supports Delphi and VB and whatever uses automation. I wouldn't use it in Delphi, by the way, but it's pretty good in used by VB or scripting host or something like that. And for OpenOffice 2.0, we developed the CLI Uno bridge to support .NET languages like C#, VB.NET, etc. Will be interesting to see how this fits together with the Mono work done by some of our colleagues at Novell. Michael. Okay, so the other part of our programmability effort is the SDK. It contains the whole reference documentation of our API. So if you get an SDK, you have the whole API laid out and documented as good as we can. It has our famous developer's guide, roughly 1,000 pages, I think. And it covers most of the API in closer detail than you can expect from an RDL documentation. And it's still developing. We have a lot of programming examples for all the languages. Not every example for every language, but it's a nice mix, I think. The SDK also comes with a development environment for C++ and Java. That means you can just use the SDK right away to develop your components. And it also contains the necessary runtime environment, libraries, or packages, and some documentation about it. And it enables you to create packages for the deployment. I think that's something that's also touched in some other presentations in our developer sessions. Okay, that was the past, and just for people that are not so deeply involved, as a summary. What is the present? What is what we learned about how programmability works for developers? We have now roughly 4 years, last year when we made a first balance about this, it was roughly a balance of 4 years because we started with our mailing list and all this stuff at end of 2000. And on last year's conference, we had a presentation about new features in Uno, and this is exactly what I wanted to start now to talk about. First, the balance showed that we have some plus on our side. That means we have many developers that showed up on the lists, and we had a lot of interesting and nice discussions, and I still enjoy this. And I think our developer list is a very nice list to follow, and I hope this continues. Our add-on development also started. We have seen several examples, even in closed source. So I, for myself, worked with other developers of other companies to create add-ons for OpenOffice or StarOffice. It has proven that it works. We also, at Sun, but I think also in other companies, we have done customer projects where we could use the programmability features to provide components to the customers that they expected but did not get in the regular build. I've seen some books written on OpenOffice or BASIC especially. I think that's fine. It fits into a hole we have in our documentation. And I think our last goal to have OpenOffice.org a little bit more componentized is not finished yet, but we have reached some steps on the way. But of course, there are also some minors. We have learned developers didn't use the provided documentation as we had expected. We thought we have so this great developer's guide, everybody will just love it. Maybe it was too optimistic. Even if people here's the developer's guide. We have learned that they still have a lot of questions. And other people had problems with our SDK just to get it work for them. And the component development, as I said, started, but honestly speaking, my personal expectation was a little bit more. Maybe I was too optimistic, but maybe there are reasons for this. Macro development is still not used so widespread as, for example, people that use VBA. That's something that many people do. I think OpenOffice.org macro development is still something that many experts are doing. So where are the problems? What do we think are the reasons why we have those minuses on our side? We think we have created a lot of very flexible and powerful APIs. When we started designing our APIs, that was our main goal, to have a flexible and powerful API. But honestly speaking, we didn't focus very much on usability of the API. So this very flexible API has a cost. And the cost comes from very a huge set of generic interfaces. For those who do some OpenOffice.org programming, interfaces using any types and return X interface and stuff like that. So programmers using those APIs have to do a lot of type checks. They have to do a lot of query interface calls and stuff like that. And it makes their code just harder to read and to write, of course. It's more code you have to write, and if you read your code later, you still have to get your eyes around those, I would say, routine stuff. And people very often think in objects when they use an API, not as we thought, is very easy to grasp in interfaces. Especially this is a problem for basic developers. And I think it's something they have inherited from VBA. VBA is very, looks like it has objects. Internally it has also interfaces, but they have designed their interface a little bit different. But also our development tools create some problems. It's not very convenient, at least not for all of us. Now, there are developers that don't like shells and makefiles. They like IDEs. They use it for their other development, different development. Especially Windows developers and many Java developers don't use shells and makefiles. Linux hackers usually don't have a problem with it. And so this is one thing that we think is hindering developers to easily adopt what we have provided. And if you create Uno components, it's not very hard to do, but there is a lot of routine work. Usually you want to create on your code, and you want to concentrate on your code and your problem domain. You don't want to do a lot of managing stuff for your code. For example, hacking XML configuration file to get the component into the Office application. But also our documentation showed some problem in the last years. It's huge, it's detailed, it's nice, but it's not easy to get in when you read it from the start, for example. We don't have documentation that takes a developer at the hand and say, hey, you want to do this? You must know this, that. And especially language binding part is not covered in single steps. So if you are a basic developer and want to use the developer's guide to develop knowledge about the API, you might have a problem because you don't have anything to do with Java, and many examples in the developer's guide are written in Java. So we also have our Uno RDL reference, and especially people that think in objects and like basic developers had some problems to understand how they can use the reference documentation to find the functionality of the objects they want to use. But in general, as I said, many examples in Java, only a few in BASIC. That is also something that could be improved. Interesting to hear is that especially the BASIC developers also ask in documentation in their native language. I would say developers using C++ or Java usually are expect to have documentation or can deal with documentation in English. But BASIC developers very often see this as a problem for them. Okay, so what is the conclusion of all this? This, I think all this together creates a very famous steep learning curve. So you can see this guy having a very steep learning curve, but I think he enjoys it. So he's some of the hackers that just see the work to be done as something that improves himself, and he can learn something, and he can better, and when he reached the top, he's very proud. But there are others that don't like to do that. They want just to have a lift or something like that. So this more, the few tools this guy is using are not enough for many other climbers. Yeah, so now we have laid out the first parts, and the question is, what do we want to do in the future? Just the one step back, because I believe not everybody has listened to the nice presentation of my colleague Stefan Bergmann last year at the Open Office Conference in Berlin. We have started last year, that was at the beginning of our phase of what can we do better, with something we often call shiny UNO. That means we have added some new features to UNO that should make, that have the potential to make the work easier for developers. And the three highlights of this are listed on this slide. First, we have now multiple inheritance for UNO interfaces. That was not in the older versions of UNO. We have reoriented we have thought about services in a new way. We have thought about the service concept, and we have created what we call new style services. And these services have some more philosophical advantages, but they also have a practical advantage. They allow to use constructors, something that is very important to get type safety. Also, we added the concept of attributes as part of interfaces, replacing the concept, not replacing, at least let's put me that way. We want to replace it in the future, so that means we should always use attributes and not properties as in the old API. Properties are something you put in a service, and usually when you use it, they are also not type safe. You have to use to deal with any use properties. With attributes, you always have type safe methods, get set x attribute, and this is a very big step ahead. Some of these laid out in a closer detail. Why are multiple inheritance interfaces important for a better UNO API usability? First, they are a precondition for the new style services that I want to describe in the next slide. These services implement only one interface. And of course, in our old concept where interfaces were very small, contained only a few methods, and services assembled a lot of interfaces to their function set. Now we have the concept that a service only implements one interface. And for this reason, we need multiple inheritance interfaces, of course. And another important thing is, usually, if you want to work in object-oriented or interface-oriented system, you want to have polymorphism. That means if you have, for example, five different objects implementing an X storable interface, you can use these objects with one algorithm and store them. It doesn't matter what other interfaces or other functions these objects have. In old UNO, the only way to achieve that was using additional interfaces. That means Every service that has XDorbit must have different interfaces to express their other facets. In UNO API, you can derive interfaces from XDorbit and have polymorphism through interface derivation, as you might already know from your usual programming languages. Why is it important? I think the query interface calls, you have to do a lot in your code. Make your code not very handleable and not very readable. And as I also said, we have some more philosophical improvements in our old UNO concept. The service term was a little bit fuzzy. We had two different kinds of services, one that you can instantiate, create from a service manager, and other services that are just abstract, just a couple of interfaces grouped together to express that there is something more higher level than the single interface. In our new concept, this second kind of service is just a new multiple hindrance interface. So we have clear distinction in our API and in the way we think about it, in having interfaces just in as an abstract term, and services at something that's more concrete, so you can get an instantiation by some means. Yeah, what about what are those famous new style services that I advertise that much? As I said, they implement only one interface and there are no optional parts. Optional also has changed its meaning a little bit. It's used on interfaces, and having optional parts and interfaces means that you have to think about why it is optional. In our old API, you will discover many optional parts that are just optional because we discovered them later. And for compatibility reasons, we couldn't include them in existing types, so we made them optional. In the new concept, this is not the way to go. Optional parts have to be designed, and when you create the interface, you have to think about which part of this interface should be optional and what not. But the most important thing in new styles are the constructors. In old style services, you always had to use a service manager called create instance, or create instance with arguments, something like that, and then you get an interface, constant style UNO X interface. To work with that object, you had to do create interface calls for every interface you want to use at that object. The constructor enables you to get the correct interface right away. And moreover, because we allow to have more than one constructor, you can also design specific parameters for your initialization of your service, not generic parameters as we had in the old style service concept. So we expect that this will make life easier for developers in writing the code, and I think even more in reading the code. And as we all know, code is read much more than written. So this should make living with UNO APIs much easier. Yeah, just a few words about the interface attributes. As I said, if you define an attribute in an interface, and you are a Java or a C++ developer, you will have some get or set method that work exactly with the type of the attribute you have defined, and not some generic get or set property value methods that receive or return an any. So, well, you then have to do type checking and all that stuff. And, I think, let's skip the next one. Just a small example of what this gives to developers. This is an example of an old style service we have at the moment. We have the desktop service, and this desktop service subclasses the frame service, and you see the interfaces that are written in the IDL file. So a service has, a desktop service has an X desktop, I leave out the namespaces, an X desktop or an X frame supplier interface, and many of more of them. If you create this desktop object, you will get an interface, console star, UNO X interface. And if you have to work with certain aspects of this desktop, you have to query for all the other ones. So you have always write code like this one. create the object, call query interface, etc., etc., etc. The idea to have a new style service, that I will show code with a new style service, but we don't have it at the moment for this object. The code with a new style service will just be just that. We call it the constructor. So the names x new desktop, are just hypothetical. What's that? It's a little boat, I think. Okay. That's all. An X desktop is a multiple inheritance interface that covers all the others. So you can use the complete functionality of the object right away. I think this is a striking example how much the code is made easier by these new features. So this is what we already started to deliver with OpenOffice 2.0. But this is only the potential. So how can we use this to make life easier? There's a condition we have to watch. New UNO features must make sure that we don't lose compatibility to our old API. If you have written code that uses the old interfaces and all these concepts, we don't want to break it. So how can we make it happen that we introduce the new UNO features without losing compatibility? So we think what we want to do is, first we pick up the most important services. We cannot do this work for all of the services we have in the code, not at least in one release. So we start with the most important things, and then we take all their interfaces that are defined as mandatory and create new interfaces from them. We create new style services from these interfaces, but in the same object, of course, we support the old ones. Usually, this is very easy to implement, and it guarantees that we stay compatible with old code. And also, we will allow to access the properties as attributes also. So you have both ways. You can have your old code that still works, and you can use the new features to make better code for your applications. And it's very important that we will not allow to create any additional old style services. So if somebody will design new APIs in any teams, we will change our tooling set in a way that you will get a warning for this, or maybe even an error. You shouldn't do that anymore. Yeah, maybe error is better, because warning is something that developers usually don't know about. So this is what we want to do better with the API, but we also have plans for our SDK. In my opinion, the highlight is we want to provide a code generator. It is just a command line tool, because command line tools give you the flexibility to use it everywhere, not only in IDE, but in many IDEs or even in a shell. This code generator will just be fed with a combination of interfaces or with a service declaration as a UNO RDF file. And it will generate Java or C++ code that immediately can be compiled, packed, and deployed. It doesn't do anything because it doesn't contain your code. But it's syntactically completely correct. It will compile, you can deploy it, and you can even see that you have an object. This is a skeleton you can use, and then you can really concentrate on the code you want to write and not on how you have to shape it to make it eatable for UNO API. And we also want to integrate this code generator into popular IDEs as a wizard. Code generator gets arguments like what service do I want to generate, and maybe some more stuff or rich components. And of course, if you have a wizard, you can even make this step easier by providing selections and all the stuff you can have in a GUI. Moreover, we decided for Java development to switch to using Ant, because it's very popular, and I think that step is necessary. For C++, we have no additional plans at the moment. So we are open for suggestions. I will show you code generation in action. I have created a hypothetical multiple entries interface. This interface covers every interface you currently have in a text document. You can see, those are quite a lot. Only the mandatory interfaces and some attributes also. If you take this multiple entries interface, you can create a service from it, a new style service. This service I have called, it was provided by my colleague Jürgen, was he there? It's called Writer Document, and it has three constructors. So you can create a writer document from a URL or with some other arguments. Internally, this constructor can just load the document easily. So it makes everything easier. If you take a service document, a service declaration, don't want to fake anything. Okay, so this is the skeleton generator. I don't want to go into details. If you see the command line, you can see it gets some arguments. For example, the IDL file or the type it should describe, create code for, and a part to the office of the installation where you can find the types RDB file. And this code that has been generated can just be compiled now, so it takes a while. And at the end, I will get a package, and the package will be deployed immediately into my office. So I have prepared a second office instance. Okay. So, just a basic macro to see. Now I have this service, and everything goes right. I can now see this is the service, and these are the interfaces implemented by that service. So it's really just one or two clicks away. Of course, as I said, these interfaces are not really implemented. They have a default implementation that works syntactically correct. But you can then start developing your functionality step by step, and it's, I think, much easier than to write every method from scratch or always copying code from other components you have written and get some typos here and there. At least you start with something that compiles out of the box. Okay. As I said, code generation is nice, but we want to have it even more convenient, so we want to support IDEs. Of course, as you might expect, as I'm an employee of Sun, we will support our IDE, that's NetBeans, and products derived from it. And we already started this Google Summer of Code project that did some initial steps, and we also are working on it by ourselves. Then, of course, we are proud that we got some support from the community for an Eclipse integration. It's Cedric Bordonat, is it correct? Pronunciation?
Bordonat,
sorry. And he worked on a Google Summer of Code project, and this will be continued. So we are very happy with this. And I think some of you might have read something about it on the dev list of the API project. And yeah. For the moment, it's only about Java. And in the first step, we had the Google Summer of Code. I think it's also possible to do something for C++ developers, because both IDEs also can be used for C++ development. We also want to do something for Microsoft Developer Studio, especially if you talk with companies that develop software for Windows and ask them to, or they ask you, how can I or you develop a component, an add-on for OpenOffice.org? They are used to Developer Studio, to using all those fancy buttons and what they have. I think that must be respected. People don't want always to use powerful but tools on the rocky way to the mountain. So we also want to do something for the developer studio. It's not clear what exactly, but at least we should try to integrate our code generator, and maybe we should have support for the project files of this IDE. We have no plans for other IDEs, but if there is some interest, we will be glad to help people, for example, to support KDevelop or whatever you want. We want to do it ourselves, but of course, as always, we can work together with people from developed communities. Yeah. So what can you expect from IDE integration that we are doing? First, you can create and build your own UNO IDL files. That's important if you have to create your own types. You will get a wizard that just takes routine work for you. You just say what the names that you want to give to your types and some more information, but you don't have to write down all this, include blah blah, namespaces, whatever. You get, of course, syntax highlighting, and you can compile your files and get type information for the language binding you are using, or for every language binding. For Java, C++, or CLI development, we want to integrate the code generation wizard. We want to have code completion in editors. The problem with code completion is it needs more of the rich new style interfaces and types. Code generation works statically by unit static typing. The code, or the IDE must know which type of objects you are using. And if you have something that is just typed as an X interface, you will not get any auto-completion because most of the methods are only three methods you don't want to use. But if you have a rich typed interface, multiple inheritance interface, the IDE can inspect the type information of the type you have declared and give you much more auto-completion than you can have now. Of course, you should be able to build, debug, and deploy code from the IDE. And it would also be nice to have our IDL reference integrated so that you not always have to fire up your browser just to read up some IDL file information. Especially in the NetBeans integration, we also are working on a way to deploy Java macros into documents and packages. That's something where we don't have any GUI support at the moment. So we want to use our scripting framework to write Java, JavaScript, or Bean Shell macros. Like, they can be used like basic macros, but you have no way to deploy them at the moment, at least not inside OpenOffice at all. That's something we want to change also. Yeah, our add-ons, something like extensions in Mozilla. We want to have a special code generator that not only supports the code, but also the configuration stuff. If anybody of you, I think a few at least, have listened to the presentation of Paolo yesterday, he explained a lot about the configuration files. Our goal is that you mostly will not see them anymore. They will be created from some information you provide to the wizard. That's the goal. We have not created specifications of that. That's just ideas and plans. We also want to give some new features for other developers. That means advanced toolbar controls, that not only buttons you can press, but also edit fields, list boxes, and stuff like that. And we even want to have void type buttons. You might wonder, what is that? Why do I need a void type? The reason is, as soon as you have an add-on toolbar in your system registered, we try to instantiate the component to get a status for the buttons. And if you have a Java component, it can take a while. If you have void buttons, that means OpenOffice.org knows this button doesn't have state. So it will not ask for it. And it will start the component at the time when you execute something. That makes a difference, I think, in KDEV performance. We have also plans to give some status bar integration. That means you can give status text or whatever in the tool, in the status bar. Tiles for two was more a bug to fix. And we also want to support template-based contacts. So we had some people asking for working based on templates. If they have users that only work with a template, and if they have this template at work, they want to have an add-on that supports work with that template. But they want to have that add-on when they just write normal text without templates. Something we can bind add-ons just to your document types, but not to templates. That's something that can also make a big difference. Now, a very interesting topic is installation and deployment of components. We want to make it easier. We want to make sure that you don't have to instantiate components in the setup just to get them registered. We want to do that based on text files. And we want to enable what many people ask for, offering downloading or updating of components. But we think this is just the second step, and we have to do something before. And that means we have to have to implement concepts for versioning of components and of services and of office versions. We have to make sure that you can define dependencies of components. And we must be able to sign components. I don't think that it's a good idea to allow downloading of components from the internet without having digital signing of them. It's not what you want to have in a production environment or in an application you use every day to work on your documents. And if you want to cooperate with third-party developers that want to do commercial development, they want to have also licensing for their components. That must be able with our framework. Okay, so documentation is also a topic. I must confess, we are not technical writers, so we do our best, but it's definitely something where we have to ask the community to help us. So if you happen to be someone that has certain capabilities writing good text to find into, let's say, writer development or something like that, we would be very pleased if you can work with us together. It's definitely something that's not our best. Okay, we also want to do something better in basic. I just covered it, but I think I will leave it out and go to my last topic. I want to tell something about Google Summer of Code at openoffice.org. We have 10 projects that have been accepted, and finally 7 of them finished successfully. That means the people working on that delivered it something, and I hope they got the money. And as far as I know, this is roughly numbers that compare to other projects also. So having 70% success is quite okay, in my opinion. We had one project that was based on API work. And we had a project that is based more was OpenOffice.org related, but not working on OpenOffice code. It was an ODT export for Jasper reports. That's a report generator tool. So if somebody uses that, now he can generate open document format reports. We had a non-coding project in Calc. It was a huge project, in my opinion. I was really surprised about the huge amount of data that was provided. Somebody compared calculations of functions in spreadsheet documents, not only for OpenOffice.org Calc and Excel, but also for other ones like Quadrupro, I think, and I think about five different applications, and created a lot of data. It still has to be evaluated, but it's really a useful information. We had 2 projects that worked on programmability stuff. I already named them, NetBeans integration and Eclipse integration. I will talk about that a little bit more later in the next slides. And we had 2 coding projects. Both have been delivered as Uno components. that makes me smile, of course. One is preparing of open document text documents for Word export. That means if an OpenOffice.org text document is exported, and there are something features we have but Word doesn't have. So the idea was to create some algorithms to identify those features and to change it in a way that it could be acceptable for Word, if possible, of course. And it was just, I think it was a start in some areas, but it's an interesting idea. And another thing is a tabbed windowing interface for OpenOffice.org. It's only a start. Okay, let's start with it. So the student doing this was Andrzej Wittichak-Partyka. I hope I pronounced the name correctly. He was a very experienced C++ developer. He not only claimed to be that, he also proved it. And he had no knowledge at all in OpenOffice.org development. And he had a total time of 9 weeks to get into UNO-based development, understand the relevant APIs, and develop the component. The mentoring was done by my colleague Andreas Schlünz, who is the API project co-lead. And here's the outline of what we had as a goal. We wanted to have a tabbed window interface as a separately installable UNO component. The component should replace our internal framework component that is used for creation of new task windows. So you can see what I said at the beginning, many parts already have been componentized in OpenOffice.org, so you can replace them by other components that do something completely different. And the only thing we had to provide was a tab control, but we didn't want to bother somebody who has never seen OpenOffice.org code with VCL hacking. So your iCode needs still VCL hacking. That was, for experienced VCL developer, it took just some days, but somebody that doesn't know those things, yeah, it's a lot of work. So we got a first prototype, and the goal was just to have only one window with tabs. Of course, in a real production state, you need to have several windows containing tabs, and you need a GUI to say, oh no, now I want to have a new window. That's something that was out of the scope of this prototype. I will just show it afterwards. I just want to finish with it. That's the last two slides. So NetBeans integration as a UNO IDE editor. The student working on this is Fintan Fair-Michael. He also had no knowledge in OpenOffice.org development, and he also had no knowledge at all in NetBeans. But in these 9 weeks, he delivered what we have done, what we have set out as a goal. That means syntax highlighting, compiling IDL files, and create type information for Java developers. We want to take this work and integrate it into our own efforts that we want to do for NetBeans integration. Okay, so then the Eclipse integration. Cedric also had no knowledge in OpenOffice.org development, but a good knowledge about Eclipse. Actually, it was Cedric that asked us to work on this. When we sent out the potential projects, we also only asked for NetBeans integration because we are not experts in Eclipse. And so it was Cedric asking us, and we were very pleased to have this opportunity. And we also had the famous 9 weeks, and the goals were the same. And as far as I know, Cedric already has worked a little bit more on that. And so the work, I think, has to be done together with us, because the code generator is something we have still not finished yet. And I think the progress of this will be visible on the dev list, I think. What do you think, Cedric?
Yeah, dev list.
Yeah, okay. So everybody who's interested in the Eclipse integration should have a watch on dev at API mailing list. Of course, if anybody feels the necessity to work on integration for C++ developers, just call us. It would be very nice. So, what else can you do? Support our code snippet database. We have a nice project called Code Snippets, maintained by another community member, Tom Schindel. And the idea is to have just simple snippets of code that explain interesting things, how to do it in different languages. It's not, you can use any programming language. And you could also help us creating new programming examples or port them to other languages if they are not already in that language. I saw something working on Python on the mailing list. Interesting idea. If you want, you can also work with us in our IDE integration. As I said, we still could need somebody who works on C++ integration in Eclipse or in other IDEs we didn't cover at the moment. Write some development primers about your favorite topics. It's not necessary to write a complete developer's guide, but there are many things that people are interested to work on. And if you have already mastered this, why not let others know how you did it? Of course, translation of documentation is also something, even developer's guide, whatever, because there are people that want to read documentation in their native language. If you feel that something in the API is missing or insufficient, we always have an ear for this. And something that I don't know might be covered in another presentation today, work with us on native packaging of Unit components if you feel the need for it. Just at the end, I have some community resources you should always have in mind. Of course, our project websites, our mailing lists, and the Code Snippets website. That's something I really would like to see used more often. And so at least now I'm finished with my presentation, and now I owe you at least a look on the tapped component. So as I said, the idea is to have it as a separate component. So I take our famous package manager. Okay, so we still need a restart for this. I hope you can understand that this has a reason. So now this is, as I said, a prototype. It's not a professional GUI or so, and it has some, as you see, some GUI quirks that need to be figured out, and it takes also a little bit of time to start up. So now you see you have a tab at the bottom, and of course you can open more tabs, you can switch between them, and this prototype still has a bug that it does not always show the right title. I have fixed it, but I have used the wrong library here. And so what we need is a GUI where you can say, oh, I want to create a new document, but I want to do a new window, what's currently not implemented. But you can work as usual. And now the title is correct. And you can unite documents of different types in your tab window. It's not that we have a writer tab and a card tab. You can do it that way, perhaps. Maybe we can even think about enforcing this about using configuration. But at least what is interesting to me is here that this is a functionality that usually everybody would say, wow, this needs some very deep code hacking in the core. But we have delivered this as a component. And this component really uses only our own APIs. And it does not need any tweaking inside the core code base. So for me, this is a proof that our API enables to do a lot of interesting things. And don't ask me when this gets into the final product. We think about ways to deliver the current state for interested as a milestone, for example. But it's still open how to do that. Okay. Thank you. So, are there any questions, or we have just only a few minutes left because I think I have talked 5 minutes too much. Yes?
You were saying that for one thing, people who like examples and the increasing amount of documentation. How? Where do we put that stuff?
Yeah, okay. It's correct. We don't have a single easy way to get this in. I think let's say if you have examples for the developer's guide or for the SDK, of course it should be checked into the CVS system of the SDK or what developer's guide. If you have something else, might be put on our API website. And there's no general rule for this, but we have to make sure that this happens. And I think your own website already contains a lot of examples, I think so. This is also great. But the point is also, if you want to attract new developers, you should have at least the most important and basic things at one point. So we really would like to have more on our own websites, just because that's where developers usually, I think, will start. And I agree that in the past we didn't, we not always were responsive enough to encourage people to do that, if that is your question.
Well, I tried to get started on your site, have that going. I then needed something for a conference, and so put together a wiki to do so.
Yeah.
I would really like that to go back to some or open office.
Just one more, please. You're right. That's something where we have failed. But for asking you for help, it doesn't come for free for us, because we still have to do something to make this all happen. And it seems that in the past, we always have set priorities differently. Maybe there was a mistake, but mistakes can be corrected.
Okay? It's a wiki that people may find useful, and I'd really like for people to put more on there. And I'm hoping that will move to the more official site.
Okay.
And then the topic I want to address in adding implementation afternoons. The only one entry is crucial for e-commerce. And even for e-commerce for every language, and I don't think that the API SIP is the best one. I think a new site dedicated to ad introduction and deletion, taking admins from newcomers to end users as the tool to support that. I think we need in the community one site dedicated with mailing list dedicated for this.
Yeah, I think that's not something I can really say much about.
The work of the GANs network or other could be integrated and joined again the alternative.org site. We have all forums, we have GANs site, we have a lot of satellites.
Yeah.
And then we could gather this.
We always struggle a little bit with our content management system on the websites, and it's also not easy for us to make everything working what we might want to have. And it's nothing I can talk about in a few minutes now, but I think you have some better points there, definitely. So, anybody else? If not,
what's the purpose of the code snippets site? Is that to hold user-generated macros and this kind of thing?
Or yeah, not only complete macros, it's just examples. So the examples, the code examples I showed, only it's not a complete program, not even a complete macro. It just shows some explanations for, if you want to do that, you can do it that way. And a code snippet can only be 5 lines of code, for example, if it shows something very interesting that you have discovered and that other people might be interested in. And there is nothing forbidden to and to send in. And it should also be easy because Paolo, that yesterday had this presentation here, has created an add-on that allows you to just put your code into, press a button, and get a package you can send to the CodeSniffer database. So it's very easy. I can really recommend that this is used. And you can even search the CodeSniffer database for something you want to investigate.
Does that, so if you submit a piece of code, does that need to go through some approval process? Or
no, it should work, of course. Yeah. I think it's, everybody that sends something in will be interested if it works, I hope so.
Yeah, but we will definitely investigate in this if we will really go further with the CodeSniffer base or if we can move it in some other technology using a wiki. We talked a lot the last days about concerns in this direction, and maybe we find other solutions to provide this kind of snippets or examples. And also the idea of Laurent to provide some extension bases is a good idea, and we will follow them to combine our concerns in the same direction so that we have one entry point for developers and point all this developers to the right information and stuff, which is necessary.
Okay, so I think there was a question of Cedric.
Just a remark. In fact, C++ integrating in Eclipse would be quite easy to do.
That's nice to hear.
But there are a lot of